Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then stabilize this inner awareness. You can do it either in the form of meditation. First, develop the four support, especially the first three, to for new people, at least like Brother Wong, detect the whatever vibration without having a stethoscope. You can detect means your mindfulness has developed, but not stable yet, not refined yet, but good enough, good sign. Then after that, continue to relax and maintain awareness. Then stay there. Then it will become more and more refined, more and more refined. Then your whatever vibration will become more fine. Then when it become more fine, you reach a point where you think you got no heartbeat. And that is a very good sign. But for his case, not yet. It's only that too subtle, he cannot detect it. So you continue to relax, maintain awareness. Then let the awareness nature stabilize. Then your mind, once enter sati, you are no one. Just like people who do bowing, body and mind as one. Bow, 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 until the sati come, you will know. Like playing badminton, when you train already, very skillful already, you are no one. Your stroke is spontaneous one. No need to think, no need to aim one. Pew, it will go. Where you want to direct it, it will go. When you train your mindfulness and awareness, your mundane mind will listen to you. Then, no matter how fast the shuttlecock return to you, you can retrieve it. Where you have developed the skill, the understanding. So mindfulness is like that. Sati is like that. The awareness nature is very different. So once you stabilize it, it transforms you. It allows you to see things as they are, observe, develop the wisdom, the understanding. The silent mind that observes is the mind that can insight into phenomena and develop the enlightenment. You can also see things as they are and understand why your mundane mind behave that way, how you get into trouble, how you entangle yourself, how you become emotional, fearful, violent, angry. That is mindfulness. Okay? So determined to be aware. Then after that, when you come out, you can see when the mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Every movement, activity like magnify. Then you have spacious awareness without a center. You don't want to know, you release the mind, don't stay at the heart, just silent. Then the spacious awareness expands, become the oneness. But for daily mindfulness to live life, you need the specific phenomena awareness. Means your mind already enters the deep, even know how to see all the phenomena, whether it's physical, nature, or mental phenomena. That is a flow. Flow means your awareness and that specific phenomena move together. That's why that flow. And hardly any thought. Just aware. Clarity, tranquil, still, peaceful. And that is the sign of progress. But it must be a free mind in sati. So very few people can develop the understanding and do it. You can do it. You are the very rare one, I tell you. Okay? Now we continue. Yes. Good. Pass the mic to Wai Fan.
Brother Teo, lately I meditate with my eyes slightly open.
Never mind, can.
Because when I close my eyes, there are thoughts coming in.
So never mind. Open your eyes.
I can continue doing...
Can, whatever that suit you. Whether you open or close, If you understand, no different one. Because you don't understand, it distracts you. That's why you find it, the moment you close, a lot of thought come. You know why a lot of thought come. These are the, in the daily life, where you have not developed the mindfulness, not to talk about stability, you think a lot. Your old habitual thinking, all those things. So this mind that behave this way, develop habitual tendency. That's why even when you want to meditate, you close your eyes, the habitual thinking inside there move, understand? Then if you can observe it, then you realize that type of thought that come, is the one you have not come to terms with, understand? You give meaning to. You haven't, they call it the unresolved problem of life. Sometimes it haunts you because you give meaning to it, you give emphasis, this is the thing that I must resolve, I must follow up, or I must do something. Then that thing becomes attachment. No? Then thought is respond to that memory which hold on to that, it creates the thinking, and the habitual thinking, it keep on reminding you, haunting you, haunting you. That's why it becomes like that. Then when you open your eye, you know why you think less? Because your perception make your thinking mind stay there. But still it move, but not as fast and violent as you close your eye. Understand? So don't worry about this thought coming in. You tell yourself, I am just the way I am. Understand? Condition like that, things will like that. Means the untrained mind is heedless. Understand? Think a lot, have all this tendency. So be at peace with it. Just like that lady, her name is Monica actually. He said the pain, everything, he accept it at peace. That is this. Yeah. Because the awareness of it is very powerful. So when you accept that, it becomes no more aversion. No. Because you develop that dislike and aversion in the meditation. Because you say, when I close my eye, think a lot. Open my eye, think less. But whether you think a lot or you think less is the mental hindrance inside that condition, that heedless thinking, habitual thinking. So accept it. Tell yourself, heedless thinking, come lah. Means the mental hindrance is your friend, understand? No? Be with it. Silence your mind. Be with it. Because I still haven't trained, understand? No? The sati is not there. That's why this phenomena arise. I think a lot. And at least you are better than others. You close your eye, you think a lot, you know. Means at least you got some form of awareness. Not the real sati. The problem is 90% is this heedless thinking and this or thought. Your awareness is only able to be aware that a lot of thought, but you cannot do anything. But because of your aversion, you think a lot of thought means you are not meditating. No. Like the Buddha say, when the mental hindrance arise, this is restlessness of mind, understand? Accept it. Don't resist. Don't like try to push it away. Like go and find a way to stop it, understand? No use. Let it arise. Then accept it for what it is. Condition like that, things like that. That is the way I am now. Then when you accept, you become at peace. Then you don't struggle. You don't try to do anything. Like what I say, relax, maintain awareness, and be with it. Then slowly, slowly, all the heedless thinking you realize, slow down, slow down. Then all of a sudden you realize, less already. That is the beginning of progress. Understand? Very good.
Thank you, brother.
Luckily you asked.
Thank you, brother.
Emily. Yeah.
Buddha mentioned about the Four Noble Truths, and the first noble truth is suffering, right? And then
the noble truth of dukkha is not suffering. This is a noble truth, means prevalent of suffering.
One of them is birth, age, and sickness. I have a question about sickness. So, can a cultivator develop dementia, Alzheimer, and senile? Can a cultivator develop these?
Okay, I ask you a very simple question, then you will know. When you got dementia, do you need to cultivate or not? You see, dementia has a lot to do with your brain, understand? And it's a condition. So it seems the scientists also until today try to get a cure, which like big story, you know, you can get a cure. That company will be worth a lot. No? A lot of listed company will be after it. No? Like Genting is one of them. No? He got certain percentage in that company that's supposed to do the drug for the dementia. No? Every time the news come out, got progress. The thing went up. But every time they do the clinical trial, they fail. Understand? Then the stock price drop again. So it's not easy to discover. No, I will come to your question, I will answer it, don't worry. So what you must understand is, like disease or this thing, the three types of coming obstacle you already know, understand? One is the primary obstacle. That one, DNA. You cannot do anything. The activity one is different. Then all these are karmically conditioned, understand? It's nothing to do with whether you cultivate this or what, then you will not get this. You look at Achancha. He arahan, no? But he become vegetable for 10 years. No? You realize? The disciple look after him. You cannot say, oh, you are arahan, no? I will not go into what they call, you call that what? He kena stroke, you know? Understand? No? Then he becomes a vegetable. But he has clarity. Despite the condition, there is warmth. The disciple that pay respect, develop the faith, all benefited. Understand? And the disciple all still respect him a lot. And I read his book in the early day. I like his book. They have a lot of very good books. One of them is Steel for a Spoon. Then the other one is, I think, the analogy of the mind, which is very good. He said, our mind is like that tree, you know. When the wind come and blow, what happened? It flutter, that one Wai Fan experience. Why it flutter? What are the wind? Sense impression. You know? That's why if you understand your mind, these are external sense data. And when you cannot accept it for what it is, you cannot echo and flow, it flutters, understand? But the mind that has Dhamma wisdom, samadhi, collected and unwavering, does not flutter, understand? At the moment of sense experience, yoniso manasikara is there, it does not flutter. So that analogy was very good. I forgot the title already. Then Tochu Potola was a very good book that he wrote.
I'm thinking it's, you know, physical sickness. Yes, I understand. That's what Buddha mentioned. It's physical illness. Yeah, we get cancer, we get all this stuff. But what about brain? Because you're cultivating your mind, isn't it?
You must understand the body is still a body, understand? Okay. The Buddha also, at the age of 80, he told Ananda he's going away, passing away into parinibbana. And the Ananda panicked and said, please don't stay on. He said, why are you asking me to stay on? He said, do you know this body of mine is like a worn out block card? You know what is a worn out block card? About to collapse anytime. Why? He got not enough rest. Understand? Too much compassion for the living being. He non-stop teach, share, and do his duty, where he can understand the body is just a body. He also had to accept the reality that it goes the way of nature. So contemplate, this body of mine is of the nature to get old, get sick and die, the five daily God. Every day you must contemplate, but you like parrot, you never put it into practice. If that is the reality, then why I want to resist and fight? Understand not? You don't have the karmic condition, the whatever deficiency that caused dementia, then no problem. But if you have that condition, if it comes, you have to accept the reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand or not? Doesn't mean that you are a cultivator, then you like tao qiang bu zu. The bullet and the sword also cannot penetrate you. That one is psychic. Maybe in the olden day, wuxia xiao shuo, gone. But be realistic, understand or not? You cultivate for what? To develop the wisdom. The form and mind is connected. But this form and mind has its condition behind, understand or not? Causes and condition behind. It has its karmic conditioning. It has its whatever past activity that govern all this. So when the time comes for you to fall sick, you cannot tell the body, please don't get sick. Means what? That one itself listen to you. Means it's you. But it's not you. You go the way of nature. You know what it tell you? Incarnate. Choi le dung ong.
Understand? What about mind?
Your mind, I told you already, that consciousness, that's why a lot of these non-human, they got mind. Understand? But no physical body, how to do things. Understand? Cannot. The mind is the consciousness. So consciousness and the body are different. You remember my teacher advised me? Body is a body. Mind is mind. Body never the mind. Mind never the body. But we choose to care mind. Understand? That's why when you understand this one, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arrives, all things arrive. So these two must harmonize. When you know how to harmonize, when you have the right cultivation with the Dhamma understanding, your qi all flow very well, no resistance. Then the life force that come can heal you, can recuperate, and can make your body like better. That one can, no doubt. That's why I told you at the age of 35, when I detected the gateway, I went in, I was like a perfectly tuned car. Means all my so-called sinus disease all gone, completely gone. Why? We have that pure energy. When I detected the gateway and yin yang external melt inside and become pure energy, it healed me. I was like a perfect human being. And my vibration becomes so fine, like a car perfectly tuned, like the EV now. No sound, understand? You stand near the EV car, you don't know that it's a car, understand? So
what you say is, we have to accept
dimension. No, this is the reality of the body, the five daily contemplation, please. Understand it, cultivate it. Knowledge is of no use. When you cultivate that, what I have pointed out to you is a lot of the teaching is already in the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. But your habitual thinking is, you always have that type of mundane thinking and mundane question. No? That's why that one cannot allow you to develop the condition to understand the true Dhamma. What you need to do is listen attentively. Because maybe tomorrow, remind me, I will read to you the brown book, the one that we have. Did I ask you to bring? No, awareness. This one. Nancy's House Dhamma, Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, the Art of Listening. Because you have your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, and that habit has been there, very strong, ingrained. You expect or want to listen to the answer that suit your mental intention or view and condition. Whatever that is spoken new, you haven't heard of, you like, this is not what I want to listen. That's why you cannot absorb. You don't have a clean slate, open mind. You have a clean slate, you listen, like a lot of people with the condition. This is so beautiful, the Dhamma is all there. But I realize you cannot pick it up. It's because of your habitual past and the karmic conditioning and the karmic obstruction. So develop the understanding through asking for forgiveness. Then break the karmic obstruction. Then listen attentively. Tomorrow I read this book, you will understand. What is the meaning of an attentive mind that have the understanding to listen attentively without the views, opinion, conditioning and your belief system to come in and interfere. If you listen, then you have your view will tell you, cannot be lah, I haven't learned this, nobody tell me this, and this is so new, how can it be like? Then inside there, you are not listening already, you know. You are creating the dialogue inside, you understand? No? And this is what we mean by the lack of understanding. When you are not attentive, means you don't have sati, you don't listen from the pure awareness, you listen from your brain. Understand? And this one, chatter a lot on, has a lot of views, opinion, belief system, conditioning. And this is the one that continuously put up the question to you, you know, understand? No? Means like a commentator, understand? Comment here, comment there. Cannot be lah. When you this cannot be, you're lost in thought, you are not listening. Listening means, I assume I don't know. Clean slate, open mind. Then if it's the truth, I listen attentively, then I reflect, I contemplate. Oh, this one doesn't harm me. Doesn't harm others. I can give it a try. Understand? Then you do, then the result comes. That's how you progress. But before you even try, the habitual thing is resisting, and you are trying to look for answer that you want. You realize or not? So hopefully this one help. Because actually yesterday I wanted to say that already, but no condition. But I let you continue. Because all the questions you ask me is like that one. So don't worry. Luckily you ask. Okay? Tomorrow, wait for tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, continue.
20th Heart Sutra class, 1.1. The first three stages of purification. The seven stages of purifications are important cultivation, especially so the first three purifications, which are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of views. 1.2. Definition. With precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light appears. The pearl light appears to the relics of the enlightened one. The wisdom is within you. How do you meet it? Put down your upside-down mind and let go of your false thinking or deluded mind. Earnestly work hard at your meditation. False thinking mind is the mundane, deluded, heedless mind. 3.1. Developing the meditation. To develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. That is, they must both be in a relaxed state and at ease. At ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body, and no fear, no worry, no restlessness and no anxiety, etc. within the mind. Both body and mind are completely relaxed and at ease. The stress and tension within the physical body and mental arise because of one's heedless living via lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. The heedless living arises because human beings tend to have a lot of problems and worries. They worry about their children, their education and their future, worry about their own health, their career and work-related problems, their relationship with their loved ones, their financial problem, their investments, business, wealth and possessions, etc. This is the reason why the Buddha said, to meditate, one must keep one's precepts, to avoid all evil, so that one's karma is taken care of via less heedless living. Hence, this is the reason why the Buddha has advocated the cultivation of the following: sila, morality or precepts, samadhi, meditation, panya, wisdom, and dana, generosity to build up the parami for goodness to arise, sila, morality, precepts, and bhavana, meditative disciples, discipline.
Oh, discipline, meditative discipline.
Which is inclusive of samadhi and panya.
This one also inside the brown book tomorrow. I explain very clearly how the Buddha's teaching sila, samadhi, and panya. How when you keep your sila, samadhi kick in. And how when sila and samadhi kick in, wisdom arise. The meditative wisdom, born of the direct seeing. So all this, tomorrow you will learn. Okay, 3.2.
Question 1. Can one attain enlightenment through only listening and without meditation? Brother Teo said, yes, and there are many cases of this happening even during the time of the Buddha, like Venerable Kondana and Sariputta and many others. Normally, such people are able to awaken only through hearing because of their past cultivation and parami. Most of these people have, in fact, cultivated very sincerely and diligently before in the past. So that is the reason why in this life they will have the condition to awaken just while hearing the Dhamma. This hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds to the first turning wisdom called Suttamanya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha. 3.3. How to apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is difficult. Question 2. How do we apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is very irritable, throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you? Apparently he is such because of the way he has been brought up, so we can't really blame him, and I don't know how to deal with him.
Okay, you know who asked the question? Manjuan. That time he was still working.
Brother Teo answered, is he or she one of your family members or friends? Yes, she is one of my family members. To apply the Dhamma is very simple. Just follow the Noble Eightfold Path. She is just the way she is. So have the right understanding and right view to accept her for what she is. Then you will be at peace. If not, you will react and perceive her with negativity, which you had described via your question. This is the suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under his first noble truth, and the cause behind is your craving born of your delusion. So, to overcome this delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then, learn to arise the right thought, pleasant and gentle right speech, following the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her, because it will not bring about a solution to her so-called problem or negativity as you have perceived earlier. Have love and goodness of heart to understand her. Radiate metta and make aspiration to help her change for the better. All this will help. With mindfulness, observe her and await the right conditions to counsel her and bring her into the Dhamma fold when conditions are appropriate. Slowly, with patience, loving kindness and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So this is the way to approach a problem, Anasana. That's why you must ask questions. If you don't ask, nobody will answer you and you won't learn. That's why that time, I don't know why, the Sunday class, Wu Ping, so many good questions came out. That's why it became a book. And I highlight to you the first noble truth, which one also I tell you, you know. You are with people whom you don't like, understand? You cannot tolerate. So that's why all there, understand? And the reason for it and all those things, how you react. And this is the teaching becoming a living reality, application of it. Understand? Not the theory. You know the theory, they tell you what? Ayo, don't attach lah. Try not to listen to all this lah. Avoid him. The Buddha never teach like that, understand not? All these are knowledge, but you cannot do. But when you look at the teaching, the first noble truth, the eight reality, then you find out under which reality it fall into. Then from there, you slowly check the second noble truth. The Buddha say there is a cause behind all suffering, Oh, then that time only you talk about attachment, no, sakkayaditti, no, self-delusion. That only correct. Before you even understand, the knowledge come out. Don't attach you, let go. Easier to advise than to do. If it happened to you, you go and tell yourself. I think this year I haven't told you. There is a Kayan Mitano, president of Vipassana Society. Then at the age of 60, accountant also, he retired, you know, very happy. And suddenly, one night, he got a prostate problem. No, cannot be. Was like hell. Then admitted, no, emergency, private sector. Then after the blood test, that so-called, what you call the one specialized in prostate, there is a name. No, PSA is that thing, but that doctor, that consultant. What logist? Neurologist, yes. Urologist, urologist. Thank you, Yujan, and my daughter. You know what he did? He asked the doctor, no, how come like that? Serious or not? Oh, the doctor with the blood test result, tell him, very serious, cancer. He said, you don't listen to me, 6 months maximum your life. You know what happened to him? His whole face pucat. Then I visited him with another Dharma friend, his good friend, also accountant. We went there. I asked him, hey, what happened to you? Oh, then he relayed all this. He said, but you're very sorry. The moment I kena this, then the doctor told me, 6 months, cancer, what stage? He straight away, all the Dharma fly out of the window. Understand? Cannot contemplate, cannot reflect. Panic. Then what happened was, luckily I was there. I said, ayo, this one very common, a lot of cases already. You must have second opinion, not necessary like that one. Then luckily he went for a second opinion. Then this doctor looked at the blood test. Ayo, blood test only ma. You got prostate problem is correct, but at that time infection, understand? So the PSA shoot through the roof, understand? It doesn't mean you got cancer. You have to do biopsies, understand? To confirm. After that, he calmed down. He very happy. Then he come back, he checked with the urologist. He said, hey, I was told, got to do biopsies to confirm. He said, yeah lah. He said, no need to confirm, the blood test already confirmed. Then what happened was, the urologist tell him, I had to take the biopsies from the spinal cord or don't know what. I don't know from where they had to extract it. Then he said, result 1 week later only come out. That 1 week, I tell you, it's like hell to him. Then luckily come out negative. Wow, he relieved. That Kayamita is Yun Chan's good friend, also accountant. So these things do happen, understand? So don't be gullible, understand? Understand the Dhamma, that all this won't disturb you or panic you. How did I come to this one? Before that was what? You also cannot remember. Never mind. Okay. Oh, Man Yuan's case, but then how we come to disease? No. There's another part after that. Otherwise, I won't give this sort of example. Oh, easier said than done, when you advise other people, honestly. That's why after that we come to that. So that example is very, very relevant. There is another more pertinent condition that lead me to that. Otherwise, I won't give the example. So, you go back and listen later on. Then you will know. So, all this is for you to develop the understanding. When you have the understanding, you don't panic and so on. Otherwise, knowledge cannot help you and so on. Oh, then when you went to the toilet, then don't worry. Okay. Our Tammy, take over for a while. Oh, she's very smart. The interval, she quickly go. Okay.
21 Heart Sutta Class 1.1 Purification of Sila, Citta and Ditti. Purification of Sila or morality, virtue. Citta or mind, content of consciousness and Ditti or view. Followed by purification of by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt are all very important cultivation. This is especially so for the first three purifications where one must get it right. The understanding of Dhammapada verse 183 on the advice of all Buddhas is also very important, for it is based on a deep understanding born of right view with regards to the law of karma. Starting, of course, with the first advice, all evil is to be avoided. So our first inquiry must be, what constitutes evil? The three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are the roots of all evil. So if your mental intention behind all of your actions, speeches and thought processes are with these evil roots, then they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma, where you reap what you sow. Take for example, selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition one to kill and harm and take advantage of a situation for their personal selfish gains. Sankhara, mental states or content of consciousness. There are 52 of them, and some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness to be aware of them, so that we can avoid all evil via this heedful mind. With heedfulness and sati or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativities, mind states with these three evil roots, via our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind states of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy and jealousy, fear, worry and anxiety, etc. Through our lack of understanding of the noble truth, thereby conditioning us to gaps and cling on to the unreal, which has the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, come empty nature of all phenomena. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. Understanding the third noble truth that suffering need not be, if we had developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth reality of life and existence, is very important, and that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature, with the wisdom and awareness or sati, one can just be aware and let things be, by seeing things as they are, and then there will be no more suffering. One can then just accord and flow with conditions without any resistance. Hence, there is no suffering and unhappiness via wanting things our way, which is not nature's way, or the reality, which is what is. We cannot argue with what is. Sati or mindfulness, which is the first enlightenment factor and most important spiritual faculty, is very important, because without sati, there is no heedfulness, and without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma. Second factor of enlightenment, to strengthen one's faith and virya, one must investigate into following important Dhammapada verses 1, 2, 21, 22, 23 and 183, and confirm that these truths stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma, as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. All of sankhara or mental activities, including of all our feelings and perceptions, are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly and are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activities also come and go, arise and pass away. Its birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. My teacher used to tell me, finally, there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later when the rather gross, mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silence within. It is very fine and like no more mind. It is like the pure nature or awareness just shining forth when the mundane mind is no more. But there is such a thing as life, even though it is only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone, hence it is not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to happen, so it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment, and moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So, as real as it can be, it is there or exists only within that moment where it arises. After that, it is gone, dead and gone. So do wake up and do not dream or sleep anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasping and clinging, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even through memory. Then you will be free and peaceful always, without delusion and ignorance. You are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more an entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, hence no longer gullible. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movement and intentions. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto your five aggregates of form and mind as the I, me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes comes to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experiences. When you lack wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination or twelve link, and how your mind functions via witnessing the twelve link occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All of your perceptions, activities of mind and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize their anatta and suffering nature within all phenomena. Part 2.1. Form is emptiness and emptiness is form. This concept of form is emptiness and emptiness is form is very difficult to grasp, and most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that the Mahayana teaching is not authentic because they cannot accept the Heart Sutta teaching that said form is emptiness and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem because basically the Buddha's teaching of anatta is presented in the Theravada tradition, also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self and empty nature of all phenomena and sunyata or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling onto and say this is me or these are mine, i.e. they cannot be owned and possessed. Ultimately, they are all mind-made and empty because form and mind are all conditioned arising phenomena. Hence, hey no me and hey no you. Also, the Buddha always said, rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form, which occupies that empty space later, does not have different characteristics with the emptiness space. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not get attached. If we go direct on into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? This is the reason why it is empty, because it is just a mental image conjured by consciousness, which is like a great magician, as explained by the Buddha by his analogy of the five aggregates of form and mind. Part 3, 3.1. Three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature. All phenomena, whether physical, mental or nature's phenomena, exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Take for example, our in and out breath, our footsteps, our heartbeat, our feelings, our perception, our thoughts and consciousness, and our bodily vibration, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away, following nature's law, seeing their appearing and disappearing. Birth, death, rise and fall, and the moment of its arising, its sustenance, and its disappearance, clearly via the silent mind and direct seeing, to awaken to their three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta, so as to break free from sakkayaditti or self-delusion. See clearly its condition arising phenomena, i.e. how when condition arise, the phenomenon comes to be, and how when the supporting condition of its sustenance are still there, then the phenomenon will continue to exist, and how when any of the supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance of or cessation of that phenomenon. This will lead to the comprehension of its impermanence and non-self or empty nature clearly. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling on to things and want them your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense perception via delusion that continues your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil, hence they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil actions, speech and thoughts. This is the reason why heedfulness to understand all of this is very important, and with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dharma as taught by the Buddha to confirm that they are the truth, hence re-establishing your faith and reaffirming your right view. The Buddha Puja or Buddhist devotional practice as taught by the Buddha are very useful practices recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, needed for us to receive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching via understanding who he is and how special and great he is, then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm and composed mind, leading to the establishment of the virya and sati. Then with the strong sada and virya, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to decondition the heedless thinking that you have arisen throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop the stable sati or mindfulness within. The reason being this constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name as practiced by the Mahayana can also help develop the very strong sada, virya and sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then, apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of these merits to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dharma smoothly by avoiding all the fools and only meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. When we bow mindfully with the very strong faith of Sada and Virya, our mind is very calm and very composed, thereby helping us to develop a very stable mindfulness or sati much more easily. And it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought, just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding, i.e. we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought, so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony and harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting and lying down, then followed by the cultivation of sati sampajanya or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all actions and movements in the present moment to develop the initial vipassana wisdom born of direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplation of the four elements and the 32 parts within this physical body of ours, and the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition contemplation to finish off the kaya nupassana cultivation. After kaya nupassana, we then proceed to vedana nupassana and citta nupassana, followed by finally dhamma nupassana. 22 Hasutta class. 1.1 The meditative mind. The meditative mind must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this meditative mind that is aware or mindful and heedful that can understand how the mind stirs and becomes afflicted via one's delusion and wrong view or ignorance that condition the evil root to arise. It will come to understand its origination factor clearly as to how the evil roots comes to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil roots are there, the mind was originally very peaceful. Everything arises naturally via conditioned arising causes, and all phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta. Then via Dhamma Nupassana, cultivation of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases, one will understand clearly how to trace the origination factor behind the stirring of the mind and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering like the wheel that follows the hoof. The meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to the truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness. Take for example, a case where a Kalamita friend passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to a heart attack. The Kalamita said, "Today I am very sad." So I asked her why. She said, "Because she has been a very good friend for the past 20 plus years." I asked her again, "Do you know why you are so sad? And who is sad? Who is the you that is sad?" As usual, she said, "Attachment law." Then I said, "Most Buddhists answer this way, and because of that, very likely they will not develop wisdom because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into this Dharma that has arisen, as advised by the Buddha under the second turning of his first noble truth. The first turning is proclamation of the first noble truth of dukkha, leading to Sutta Maya Panya. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, leading to Citta Maya Panya. So the inquiry will enable her to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that causes her to cling onto her thoughts that arises via her memories of her good friend of 20 plus years, hence confirming the Buddha's final summary of the first noble truth that states, in short, it is ignorance or delusion that conditions one's grasping to their five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering, which is craving or grasping and clinging, conditioned by her own self-delusion or sakkaya ditti, lead her to cling on to her mental perception, memories, and consciousness that condition her pure feeling into sadness or suffering. It is only a form and mind.
Okay, okay, wait. I explain this a bit. We go back a bit. Here is very clearly explained. So what is the cause of suffering for her case? The cause of suffering, which is craving or grasping and clinging, conditioned by what? Her own sakkaya ditti or self-delusion, leading her to cling onto her mental perception. Understand not? The memories and the consciousness. So here, what are the five aggregates? Perception, consciousness, memory, condition, consciousness and its content, respond to memory. So the five aggregate of grasping is suffering, is dukkha. So if you grasp and cling onto your mind's perception or the aggregate of sanya or the consciousness that arise with the content, which is the product of your memory that she is a good friend or else thing, it is this attachment to the perception, memory, and consciousness that condition her pure feeling. Originally, before the wrong view delusion come, feeling is pure feeling. Understand? It has not become grasping. But that memory, he is my good friend. No, age 63, heart attack. No, means what? He cannot come to terms with this reality. No, he wanting his way. So young. No. And my good friend, other people heart attack, never mind. So the attachment comes from what? Believing that there is a self, sakkaya ditti. There is a good friend. This one, someone not loved one yet, no. Not hubby, not the wife you call it. Hubby is a husband here. Wife you call it? Darling. Then your children, no. I tell you, when that happened to their spouse and their children, more kaulat, isn't it? More intense, isn't it? More difficult to deal with, isn't it? A good friend also so difficult to deal with, you know. So the conditioning or the pure feeling into sadness or suffering cannot be seen, no. And the standard answer is what? Attachment law. Like life is suffering law. Means what? You take the knowledge and give the standard answer, then you won't learn. You will not go and contemplate and reflect and apply the Buddha Dharma to see whether, to investigate whether the Buddha is right or not. He said, in summary, final summary. In short, it's due to your attachment, grasping, and clinging to your five degrees of form of mind via your self-delusion, security. So under which of the five aggregates that you cling on to? Huh? The good friend, isn't it? How do you know he she's your good friend? The memory tell you, understand not? The perception tell you that she is your good friend. And the consciousness is the content. You want things your way. You cannot get what you want, understand not? He said, he's only 63 years old, no? Heart attack, no? All this is your views, understand not? The reality is, condition like that, things will be like that. Why can't you accept her for what she is? Doesn't mean you don't have compassion for her. No? You help her by doing whatever you can, understand? You want to attend the wake, want to make sure that the spouse and the children are okay. You can do all those things. Or help her by sharing merit, transfer merit, and maybe make aspiration for her well-being in the next birth or whatever, understand? So these are more tangible. Rather than grieving over it, becoming miserable over it, he said, today I'm very sad, whole day. Before she come to the class, no? She is Joyce, your favorite Joyce, Kayamita. And that time he very knew her. And she came and said, Bhattu, I'm very sad, he said. Then I said, what happened? That's why I asked him, then he told me. Then I explained when he asked me that question. That's why this one is very good. It's only a form of mind, not so real. We are all conditioned arising phenomena are not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling on to and say, this is me, this is I, and these are all mine. Do reflect into all this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkha, and anatta, and break free. All these are conditioned arising entity, dependent originating, empty, no reality, mental image from your consciousness with the content and the image inside. You become so worked up, so miserable. So when you understand this, then what will happen is we will understand there is no one to be sad, and also no one born, no one die. That's why I asked him, the you in inverted comma, who is the you is sad? She cannot understand. That's why I have to explain all this. Is that you, a permanent and changing entity where you can hold on to and cling on to? If it's not you, then how come it make you sad? You think the sadness is you? The sadness is dependent originating due to your wrong view, understand or not? It's just a thought. You grasp it, you cling on to it. And the thought is the whole five aggregate of form and mind, understand? Second aspect. So understand this and cultivate accordingly so that the Dhamma is applicable to life. It's a living Dhamma. You understand? Don't know what to respond. Okay, continue.
Contemplate and reflect deeply and inquire, why am I still so deluded? Why can't I wake up to this truth? Part 2, 2.1, Anatta or non-self nature. Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness. If one realizes anatta or penetrates the understanding of true emptiness, then one can also become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. When thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks, hence no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment to awaken to the truth. As man can only do one thing at a time, i.e. either one is aware and silent within, heedful, or lost in thoughts, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time preoccupied with what they think, plus all of their mind's reaction to the three evil roots, that they create within their thought processes via their likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant feelings and emotions that arise upon contact of mind within every moment of sense experiences. In the Diamond Sutta, it is said, the mind have no dwelling. The mind must have no dwelling. Hui Neng understood this stanza when he heard it because Hui Neng's mind is true mind. Reason why he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create via thoughts, then there is good and bad for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thoughts divide via words and concepts like gender, race, religion, nationality, right and wrong, good and bad, etc. Non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, one can see things as they are and can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are, hence transcending all dualities that leads to reaction of mind. Knowing via thoughts is knowledge, whereas awakening via the silent mind without thought is enlightenment, which is an understanding, and understanding is non-rigid because it is not knowledge, no right, no wrong, because everything is just the way it is, true suchness or ta-ta-ta. Dhammapada verse 183 states that all evil is to be avoided. Do good and purify the mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas, which all Buddhists must follow. To purify the mind, one must develop the enlightenment factor of equanimity and samadhi. To see things as they are, then with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and there will be no good and evil, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. in meditation. No right, no wrong, because deluded person will say deluded things, angry person will say angry things, so accept them for what they are, via perceiving them with equanimity. When you perceive a life situation with negativity or without equanimity, you will react and your mind will stir to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So do wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see really clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Then when we understand that we can reverse all these mental creations via returning all external mental creation to mind consciousness, then mind consciousness to the pure awareness, and then pure awareness back to the great void, which is emptiness, via realizing the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana, then we would have understood the whole mystery of nature's creation. If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, and then finally back to true emptiness, it means they are all not so real. All created by mind via consciousness and mind made are they. Hence the phenomenon world is a world of consciousness, and they are all really empty. Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering, i.e. without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feeling, no sankhara, hence no karma, and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognition via mental perception is all mind-made, hence phenomena and perception are all linked. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta or empty. The pure awareness before the knowing, or essence of mind which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a conditioned arising phenomena. Hence it is the unconditioned and also your true mind, but it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it cannot come up to live life. whereas the mundane condition arising mind needs sense data in the form of vibration for the arising of the hearing consciousness to perceive, hence its condition arising nature within the phenomenal world. Part 3, 3.1 Meditation Question. Question 1. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation. Bhatia replied, as you meditate, the yin and yang energy can build up to cause heat and cold to arise within your body. Here at Wubing Jingse, there is no air conditioning, so we tend to feel warm and sometimes we sweat too. Is the warmness uncomfortable? No, it is quite soothing. Then it is okay and you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is not affected by the heat, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise, your mind will be affected and cause you to react. For some who do samatha or one-pointedness concentration and absorption type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem because of their yin and yang imbalance. This is especially so for those who like to play with energy fields to develop psychic power. The Mara too can come and dilute them and disturb them. But if they know how to release the energy built up, come out to normal state of awareness to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then they are alright and they can also develop the enlightenment. 3.2 Meditation Question and Sharing of the Work by Bayan KT. Brother Teo said, how about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop it? Reply, for a while only because I get easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations in daily life. Then the calmness and the daily mindfulness are all gone. Father Teo replied, habitual tendencies born of the wrong view to perceive certain situations with negativity is the cause. You lack right view and you should reflect, contemplate and inquire deep into the Dhamma via the second turning of the First Noble Truth to develop the Chintamaya Panya to overcome this problem of yours. You should inquire why you are agitated or affected. How do this habitual tendency that cause you to react to such situation comes about? You will finally come to understand that it is because you have certain expectation and preference born of your wrong view that condition you to think that way for so long already. You are actually grasping or clinging onto your wrong thoughts born of your conditioned memories. Seeing this clearly with your pure awareness will enable you to straighten your view via silencing your mind to develop the wisdom and right understanding needed to free your mind. You can also inquire to free via applying the work as taught by Bayan KT to free. The work is a simple yet powerful process to inquire that teaches you to identify the question, the thought, and question the thoughts that cause all the suffering in this world. It's a practical way to understand what's hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering or problems with clarity. Her work consists of four lines of questioning or inquiries to develop the wisdom to free, and they are 1. Question the wrong thoughts that condition you to react habitually. What the thought is telling you, is it true? 2. Then inquire again by asking, can you absolutely know that it's true? 3. How do you react and what happened when you believe that thought? You are afflicted, isn't it? Hence, it is wrong thought and you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery. 4. Who would you be without this wrong thought, peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably, without having to resort to any negativity of action, speech and thoughts, thereby leading to the end of all suffering. Then you will perceive life differently and will know how to truly live life to experience all of its beauties and wonders. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful, and it can experience all of nature's pristine purify and beauty. Purity and beauty. Mm. When I was in New Zealand, I can feel the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food I eat makes my body feel so good.
Mm. Stop. Mm. Alarm already gone. Eh? So we stop there. Eh? Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this Bhayan Kirti, the four line of questioning is very good. He is one, it's like the Kalama Sutta, that's similar. He said, don't believe even your thought, understand? The Buddha said, whoever come and preach to you, don't believe anyone, including the Buddha, he said. Just check two things. When you believe it and follow, does it harm you? When you believe it and follow, does it harm others? So in your case, in the example here, Bhayan Kirti say, when you have suffering, you have misery, that is definitely a wrong thought, isn't it? What is a wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, negativity of mind state, with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So you question that thought, is it? Is it true what he is telling me? Take for example, the wife suspect the husband cheat on her. Okay? Then hire a private investigator, go and investigate. Yeah? Then of course got photo and all those things, the usual one. Wow, then what happened? Based on that perception, get angry already, become jealous already, miserable already. Wow. Cannot accept what happened, understand? And how did that suffering come about? Through the thought, isn't it? So, if you apply the Kalama Sutta, it's like the line of questioning by Bhayan Kirti. What the thought is telling you, your husband cheat on you, is it true? You definitely say yes, or a private investigator also hire already. Cannot be wrong, man. You think your thought is your friend, yes or not? Then the second one, he asks you again, can you be absolutely sure that it is the truth? You sure say, private investigator also confirm with the photo, everything, definitely the truth. Then the third and the fourth one give you the answer. Show it to you how stupid you are. How do you react and what happened when you believe that thought? Means you believe what the religious teacher or somebody tell you. Does it harm you? Huh? That's why the answer is, you are afflicted, isn't it? Miserable, isn't it? Jealousy and all those things. Like, you cannot accept this. But this is the reality. Even your husband want to cheat on you. In the past, karmically, you also cheat on others. Understand? So this is the reality. No right, no wrong. Understand now? You believe the thought, it hurts you, then that thought is like the religious person, no? Understand now? Advise you, no? Tell you and make you miserable and angry over what? Well, he said, that guy cheat on you, no? Maybe you got people gossip and you hear some rumor, then you hire a private investigator, confirm, no? But then, the third line of questioning free you, wake you up, you understand the Kalama Sutta. Then here he say, you are afflicted, isn't it? Hence it's a wrong thought. And you should arise the right effort to This one is Buddhist, ah. This one not Bayan Kati, ah. Bracket one is I add in on, ah. So you must arise the right effort to abandon that wrong thought instead of believing it and clinging on to it and condition your suffering and misery. Understand not? Then the fourth line of questioning is the best. Who would you be without that wrong thought? Before people tell you, gossip to you, you happy-go-lucky, you think your spouse very great, is it? Wow, birthday, present me with a new car and all those things. Wow, take me for dinner, all those things. That is because you don't have jealousy. You know? When the evil root jealousy come, then you perceive him with negativity. You start to hate him, no more praising him. So why would you be without this wrong thought? Without this wrong thought, before you know all this, you are peaceful and at ease, isn't it? Someone darling here, darling there, wow, so kind of you, buy me a new car. You know a lot of Cantonese show, huh? Cinema show. Huh? When your husband too nice to you after some time, huh? Be careful. Got something behind. With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then you can act following the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand or not? It doesn't mean you accept him for what he is and don't act. Understand or not? You accept him for what he is and don't arise the wrong thought. Understand or not? Which is delusion. Why you want to think that thought when it causes you so much suffering and misery? Then when you suffer, you become miserable. You also make others suffer and miserable. Your children also affected, your in-law also affected, those that have relationship with you also affected. So what must you do? Resolve it amicably. Follow the first Noble Eightfold Path factor, law of karma, you reap what you sow. Definitely something to do with what you have done in the past. Isn't it? So need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Need to repent. Repent. Then resolve it amicably. Got time. Maybe no need chanting today. I just finish here. So you know what happened? That brings me the condition to tell you a story of a true case. Actually, that lady around my age, they got two children also like my children's age. She is a nurse, and the husband and wife met in UK, very good couple, happily married, two beautiful kids. Yeah. Then what happened is, she gave up her career as a nurse, become a housewife. Yeah. Then the husband do business, successful. Then what happened? After a while, there is, what, 近水楼台, what is that? Miss, when the secretary every day with you, then you develop what? Affection. But initially, maybe the secretary was the one that go after him. No? Got business, got money, everything. No? Then secretary also younger. No? So you know what happened. One day, the husband come back. He tell the wife, no? Tonight, dress nicely, I take you for dinner. Oh, the wife very happy. I went for dinner, expecting very good dinner. And how come the husband still so good to him after so long? No? That time the children already almost secondary school already. No? And you know what happened at the dinner? After the dinner, before they finish, he said, honey, I got something to discuss with you. So he thought, good news. He suddenly said, I think I want to divorce you, he said. He got a shock. Cannot believe what she heard, through perception. You know what happened? He said, stop! Stop! Very loudly. And he ran out of the restaurant and went home alone. Oh, sorry, didn't go home. He was crying, sobbing. Then drove all the way to our Dhamma center where we have Dhamma and discuss here. You know what happened? We give him a very good solution. No? using Noble Eightfold Path, accept the reality, resolve it amicably, then we come out with a solution. No? We say, you go back, calm down, no need to talk to your husband, just go and sleep, rest well. Then prepare what we tell you tomorrow, you talk to him. Then wake up the morning, as usual, he saw the husband there, then he approached the husband. Okay, now I'm in a better state of mind to talk to you. He said, I understand you don't love me now. Okay? So you want a divorce, separation. No problem. Do it amicably. I only have three conditions. That three conditions turn the whole thing around. You know what are the three conditions? You don't know. He said, I no longer have a career. I no more a nurse. I got no income. Number one, I want the house transferred to my name alone. As compensation or security or what? Up to you, is it? So the husband being wealthy, no problem, is it? Then number two, every month I want how much allowance? Also small sum, like 5,000 or what? No problem. Number three, also not a problem. He said, I know you may not want to have dinner with me, but I want you to agree to this condition. This is most important. Come back and have dinner with your two daughters twice a week at least. Twice a week, yes. Wow, the husband so happy. Okay, no problem. Agreed. So what happened? He go back, tell the good news to the secretary. And what the secretary do is, show happy, not confirm already. No. But then, as time go by, because the wife gives such good terms and conditions, the husband feel that I shouldn't hurt her anymore. Understand? Someone want him to file divorce paper and all those things. Then after a few months, the secretary cannot tahan already. You know. He said, when are you going to divorce your wife and marry me legally? And the husband suddenly turned around and tell the secretary, hey, you only want to be with me, right? Why now you press me? He already give in and give us such good condition. You somehow want to make life difficult for her. So the secretary also keep quiet lah. But inside show bosong ma, not happy ma. Then you know what happened? The secretary runs the company for him. No, he absconded with all his cash and all those things. No, until the business got big problem. No, cash flow problem. No? Then disappear. Then after that, you know what happened? She came and tell us. Hey, Tio, I said, wow, good news, my husband come back to me and say, give him a second chance. Because now, business, cash flow problem, his secretary also told you. Then he said, what must I do? Agree or not? I said, you're so eager for him to come back now, you ask me agree or not. That's why finally she accepted. The apology and give the second chance. And after that, happily married until today. And the two children also, the eldest, as old as my daughter already, 45 years old. That is how you resolve all this relationship problem or divorce issue, all those things, which is separation using the Dhamma way. So now you understand. Can be resolved, understand? Resolve it amicably. No need to have all this anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, leading to all the depression and all those things. They are evil, root of all evil, make you evil. So you understand the Dhamma, you can resolve it. That's why you apply Noble Eightfold Path. Resolve it amicably so that nobody gets hurt. Ultimately, it's happy story, happy ending, isn't it? True or not? Yeah. Aiyo, okay, and share merit, transfer merit. Never sadhu also. Aiyo, teach you such a powerful solution, free, you know, no consultation fee, you know. Some more don't know how to rejoice and receive merits. Aiyo. So next time, please, don't quote me wrongly, and say, hey, Brother Teo, do like that. No. All the divorce case, you ask them to do that. Cannot work on, understand? All the conditions all different, understand? No? So don't be gullible. Okay, yeah. Pamasri.
I have corrections to make. Because this one is the past 2 years. I give you all the mantra for Shakyamuni Buddha. There's a mistake there. Because I missed out one word. So I'm glad that I have
never mind.
To correct it.
Yeah.
It's Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Ye Soha. So I missed out the Ye.
Because
I got it from the teacher, and then the teacher speak very softly, so I miss out that Ye.
Never mind. Yeah? You can check the internet also.
I will write it on the board.
Yeah. Then put on the WhatsApp. Right?
Put on the WhatsApp better.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to share merit, transfer merit. So let us rejoice in all the wholesomeness that we have developed today in the understanding and the sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we share these merits with all the devas. Then after that, only to all the beings. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ibina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.
Dear all, before we call it a day, shall we pay our respect to Triple Gem and Bratio? Wow.